Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny.
Hopefully, you've been able to listen to many of the great programs we've been airing here on WNJC 1360 AM. We're here every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30. If you are a first-time listener and you live with a dog or two, or you just love dogs and want to learn more about how to care for them and how to understand their behaviors and how to be responsible dog owners, you've come to the right place. If you aren't able to listen to our entire program all the time, you can always hear us by going to my website at www.jerseydogtrainer.com, or you can go to Karen's website, which is www.thedogsupernanny.com, and listen to the podcasts that we have. You can save any of those shows right to your own computer by right-clicking directly on those links, and you can have them to refer back to anytime you need to. Today, Karen and I are going to talk about dogs that are fearful. This isn't the first time we've discussed this, but I don't think we can discuss it enough. I think that Karen will agree and that we see about 85% of dogs out there with behavior problems are fearful. So we want to offer some ways for you to help improve your dog's emotions and give you some ideas on how you can accomplish that. We invite you also today to call into the station if you have a question about your own dog or if you have any comments to make about dogs in general. Our number to call is 856-227-1360. Let me say the number again. It's 856-227-1360 if you want to discuss your own dogs with us. And Karen and I would be more than happy to give you some ideas on ways to improve your own dog's behaviors. Before we begin, Karen, I think you wanted to make an announcement about an organization you're involved with.
Yes, I do. I'd like to discuss the Purr and Pooch Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization, and their sole goal is to provide grant money to no-kill shelters, animal rescues, and the trainers that help rehabilitate problem dogs so mm-hmm. that they can find their forever home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with the animal. I think it's Nat Geo. Dogtown.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But most of the players in that are from Best Friends Animal Society.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be one of those types of groups that would be given grant money if they put in an application and let us know what their needs are. Last year, the foundation gave out over $35,000 in grants to rescue groups and shelters in New Jersey and abroad, or in the United States at least. And, you know, it's a very exciting organization because shelters and rescue groups are so poorly funded, and now they have a really great resource to turn to, and that's the Purr and Pooch Foundation.
Okay.
And you can find more out about the foundation by visiting purrandpoochfoundation.org, and that's P-U-R-R-N-P-O-O-C-H, foundation.org. And this year, you know, every year we have a black tie gala, whoops, black tie optional in Asbury Park, and this year it'll be on Thursday, August 9th. And also on June 2nd in Asbury Park, West Long Branch. On June 2nd in West Long Branch, there's gonna be the, Pause for a Cause. And that's also a fundraising event, and it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be dancing and music and vendors, and there's a 5K run. And if you're interested in participating in the run, or if you'd like to volunteer or just come down for the day, visit purrandpoochfoundation.org, and we'd like to see you there. It's a fabulous foundation. And also, you know, if you visit purrandpoochfoundation.org, you can also donate, which would be really wonderful. I mean, even a dollar is not, you know, enough. So, I mean, actually, a dollar would even be a great donation. So, you know, we could really use your help, and the organization is wonderful, and every bit of money that they get goes to help rescue groups. Nothing is kept for the foundation.
Great. That's wonderful. So, Karen, we've talked about dogs that are fearful before, and I don't, like I said, I don't think we can talk about it enough because there's so much of this out there. I copied an article out for this program today because it was such a great article. It was written, they don't ever say who it is, who the author of these articles are, unfortunately, but there's a website called Diamonds in the Rough, and the rough is spelled R-U-F-F.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, everything that I've ever seen on that website has been really, really good. I don't think I've ever read an article that I didn't agree with or that I didn't find scientifically based. It's a good place to get some information. So Diamonds in the Rough, they have an article there called Fear and Reactivity in Adolescence. And I thought maybe we could discuss that a little bit. You know, they say that the fear imprint period happens between 6 and 14 months. That's the adolescent period that dogs experience, and it's the time when they start behaving really silly. They spook at things that you would never expect them to spook at. For example, and I tell my clients this all the time, you know, Uncle Harry comes to visit. He comes once a month, and the dog knows him well. He plays with him, and one day Uncle Harry comes, and the dog goes ballistic. Who are you? I don't recognize you. And starts barking and running away or lunging forward very, very, you know, insecurely. So that could be an indication that the dog is entering one of these fear periods that they go through. Actually, what they're saying is it's called a flight instinct period. Not necessarily a fear imprint period. I think the fear imprint period happens before then, but they go through these periods on a regular basis. And so, you know, we've talked also about the utter importance of early socialization. And what lack of socialization, how much fear that can cause in dogs. What do you see out there? What types of cases do you go on, and what age groups do you see that show fear behavior?
I would say probably the largest group is in the 3-year-old range.
Really?
And believe it or not, there is some belief out there that there is a fear period around 3 years of age.
Yeah. Okay. So
it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also some belief that, you know, owners are, you know, that the behavior is reported at 3 years of age, and they're not really sure if they're reporting that at 3 years of age because that's when the behavior started, or if the owner has been living with this problem, and at the 3-year mark, they've reached their limit.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, they contact the trainer. So really, there's really no scientific basis for that fear period. But in my experience, you know, I would see like around 3 years of age, things really start kicking in. And also, around the 9-month age mark, or right in that area.
I see it.
The flight instinct period.
Yeah, I see, between 6 and 9 months, I see a lot of fear. You know, and they also talk about the first fear period happening, at 9 weeks old. And to be honest with you, I don't see that very often.
No, I do see it. I do see it around 12 weeks. And it's not really that, it's not really that impressive that, you know, someone's going to call a trainer and say, oh, my dog is 12 weeks old and it's frightened. But it does go through a period, a fear period during that time. But it's more fear it's not really fear, but it's learning consequences. and consequences having more of an impact during that time.
Well, I can kind of relate with the 12-week mark, but I see that most of the time when people get puppies and have not socialized the dog until late. So sometimes they'll get them from a breeder, at 11 weeks, and the breeder hasn't done any socialization with the dog, or the dog never got out, or, you know, didn't have any children coming into the home or anything like that. So already you're at 11 weeks, you're 1 week away from the end of the socialization period. So
sure.
Then you're doing remedial work by then. But also in owners who are not aware of the importance of socialization. And so maybe I'll visit with them at the 12-week mark, and the dog is already showing a lot of insecurity and barking at the door a little bit and, getting a little more nervous about things that he should have been exposed to long before the 12-week period.
Right. And, I want to throw it out there for those of you who are just starting to listen to the show and may have missed some of the conversations that we've had on fear. The socialization period is between 8 and 12 weeks of age, or roughly thereabouts. Some people say 14 weeks, and it kind of varies, but it's around that time period. And what is most important is up to 12 weeks of age, you need to fill that dog's brain with as many experiences as possible. All different kinds of people, all different kinds of places, visitors coming to the house, meeting the mailman, popping balloons, having parties, having a tire blowout, or going to the supermarket and hearing the shopping carts crashing and all that. I mean, anything that the dog may ever experience in its adult life,
mm-hmm.
you really want to try to have them experience this before the 12-week period. But, so of course you want to make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to scare the dog with these things. You want to make, oh, look, oh, how wonderful, let me give you a treat as the shopping cart is crashing into the other ones. What a wonderful thing. And then when the dog ages and it becomes 2 and 3 years old and it goes to the supermarket, it accompanies its owner to the supermarket and it hears a crashing shopping cart, be like, I've been there, done that. I know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about when we're mentioning socialization and the socialization period.
In this article on Diamonds in the Rough, this is what the author has said, and I thought it really made a lot of sense. Dogs whose genetic heritage has programmed them to be alert and focused outward will often have a more pronounced fear period. The protection breeds, like German Shepherds or Rottweilers or Doberman Pinschers, and he says the herding breeds, collies and cattle dogs, will need increased positive socialization during adolescence. It's almost like one day they can see better at a distance. I thought that was cute. Suddenly they are noticing the neighbor across the street as he gets out of his car. Their alarm starts with a suspicious woof woof, followed by even more barking, going up in pitch. If this behavior is allowed to be practiced, their confidence in scaring away people like the mailman or the neighborhood kids will increase because they see that it works. The mailman comes every day, and every day the dog barks, and every day the mailman leaves. So in the dog's little brain, he thinks he's controlling that. So you don't want them to become experts in scaring everyone in the neighborhood. So that's why it's very important to continue that positive socialization and training. And by the way, when we get the dog, if we get the dog at 8 weeks, yes, we have to absolutely, from 8 weeks to 12 weeks, focus very heavily on that socialization. But you know what? The period of socialization actually starts at 3 weeks. So the breeder, breeders don't often, not unless it's a really fabulous breeder, they're not thinking about socialization. They're just thinking about selling those dogs.
You want to ask the breeder when you go in there.
Yeah.
You want to ask them, have you socialized this dog?
Right.
And that's really important, because then you'll know if you have a really good breeder. And it doesn't matter if they have a bunch of blue ribbons on the wall and, the dog was a show dog and, won all kinds of champions and everything. It means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't know how to socialize a dog, anybody could train a dog to be in a show ring.
That's right.
It takes time. But some of the most vicious dogs are in the show ring.
Mm-hmm.
So they perform wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
And outside they're a disaster. So
yeah.
You really want to make sure that your breeder knows what they're doing.
Yep. How much?
These are
how much?
You want to ask?
How much of fear would you attribute to genetics? I mean, how can you tell the difference? I mean, there are certain dogs that I can tell a lot of the fear is just genetically, as a result of genetics, bad genetics.
Absolutely. You know, especially in, you know, breeds like the German Shepherd, they're like the poster child.
Yeah.
You know, fear and reactivity. You know, they're great dogs, but you know, they're very high strung. Mm-hmm. You know, they're high strung dogs. I mean, they could sleep all day and hang around and be the best family dog, but mm-hmm. you know, they're like just waiting for something to happen. And
right.
you know, that's what they were bred to do.
Right.
You know, they were bred to herd. They were bred to protect.
Mm-hmm.
They were one of the few breeds that actually were bred for both.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
they're all
true.
The protection dogs and they're herders.
Right.
You know, so you got like a double whammy there.
Yeah, you have that with
really,
Rottweilers too, you know. I don't know if people realize that Rottweilers were herding dogs.
So, you know, like you said earlier, you know, they are programmed to be very alert
mm-hmm.
and notice things quickly and little sounds and stuff like that.
Right.
But I would say that the most impactful thing and the best thing that an owner can do is try to dissuade this behavior earlier on in life.
Because
mm-hmm. when that puppy starts to get to be like 8 months, 9 months, they're going to start feeling the sense that they're an adult. You know, their teeth are in, they got all the weapons, you know. And you want to make sure that you don't encourage this behavior during puppyhood. You know, the dog starts barking at somebody outside or it sees a blowing leaf in the street or a bag and you make a big joke of it. And, oh, look how cute he's barking at the bag. That could be a disaster. Because you know what? Years later, that could be a stroller in the street. And now guess what? Your dog just ran and jumped on top of a baby in a stroller.
Here's a conversation.
You have to really be careful what you reinforce.
Here's a conversation that I have with my clients a lot of times with when they have protection breeds. You know, they'll get a German Shepherd or they'll get, you know, a Rottie or a Doberman because they want a protection dog. Maybe they're not, you know, many of them don't even live in areas where they need to have that, but they just, it just makes them feel more secure. And people tell me, well, I want a protection dog because I want to know that my dog is going to protect my kids. Well, that's all well and good, and I understand that. But what they don't understand is when the dog becomes protective, at times when they don't need that protection, if that dog is reinforced for it, you're going to have a protection dog plus 10.
Can I tell you something?
What?
The best protection dogs are the dogs that were raised to love everybody.
That's right.
They're the ones
the safer ones.
You know, no matter who comes into the house, they're happy to see them. You know why? Because when that one person comes into the house and intends to do you harm,
they know the difference.
Unlike anybody else that ever came into the house,
right.
They're going to be alert.
Right.
There is no reason to ever train a dog for protection unless you're planning on getting the dog into schutz and competitions.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, the dog is a wonderful family dog, very friendly to everybody. It'll only attack the handler when it's cued to do so. It's a game.
Right.
That's a game.
Right.
It's not a job. And anybody who takes a dog, another species, and puts them in charge of the human race is insane.
Mm-hmm.
You're insane.
Yeah.
Go out and buy a burglar system, or hire a security company if you're that worried about your safety. But to take another species and say, hey, guess what? Protect me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're not. I'm just throwing it out there.
All right. Well, can we take a break for a minute so that I can let everybody know what services I offer right here in the South Jersey area as the Jersey Dog Trainer?
Take it away.
Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. We're on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com.
Thursday in the Doghouse. This is Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny, and I'm here with Rini Permaza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and we'd like for you to feel free to give us a call. We're talking about fear and how it could affect your life and the dog, and our phone number is 856-227-1360. Again, that number is 856-227-1360. Hi, Rini.
Hi. So, Karen, can you tell us a little bit about how we can help once our dogs do become fearful? What are some methods that can be used to help those dogs get over that fear? And do you really think that you can ever cure the dog?
There is no such thing as curing fear.
Good girl. I don't think so either.
Any trainer, anybody that says they're a behaviorist, you know, these people walk around saying I'm a behaviorist. They don't have a PhD next to their name. They're not a behaviorist.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no such thing as curing fear. It just does not go away. Could it get better?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If you're the owner of a fearful dog, you better get ready for maybe even several years of working with your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Desensitization and counter conditioning and these kinds of techniques do not happen overnight. It's not like teaching your dog to sit or teaching your dog to come or give paw. It takes a long time because not only are you altering a response, you're altering a brain. And when a dog is in a fearful state and it has been experiencing fear for a number of years or a number of months, that brain, the chemicals in the brain are all out of whack. So not only are you training the dog how to feel good about a situation, but you're spending the time and giving that brain enough time to regenerate itself and get back to a normal state. And one of the techniques that trainers like Rini and I would be using to help such dogs is called desensitization. And desensitization basically is exposing a dog to a fearful stimulus or a stimulus at such a distance that it doesn't really affect the dog too much. And we start to increase the distance between that fearful stimulus and the dog. And, you know, with desensitization and classic counter conditioning and all this kind of stuff, they always go hand in hand. You really can't do one without the other. So if you're desensitizing the dog, you're also using a classical conditioning approach, which means, like for my German Shepherd, he saw dogs at a distance, he was okay, but I mean, if they got within like 50 yards of him, he'd become a lunatic. So now I knew what my threshold was. I knew the point of reactivity. And whenever he saw a dog at a distance and he was calm, oh, what a good boy. You know, he would get a little piece of hot dog or something wonderful or lots of, you know, petting and praise because he just loves that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we would walk away. And I would do this daily. I mean, every opportunity I can to get the dog out there and expose him to these things. And over time, we could get closer and closer to a dog that to the point now that if the dog is across the street, we could get past it, you know, without him erupting into hysteria. But I also used the BAT behavior protocol.
The behavior adjusting training?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically, if you have a good trainer, they're going to teach you body language. And dogs will give out a lot of signals saying that they're stressed out before they react, such as, you know, if they see somebody approaching them they're afraid of, they might sniff the ground, they might turn their head away from it, they might lick their lips and things like that. And at the very second you see that, you reward the dog by taking him away from it.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I would say, run, Carney, run!
Mm-hmm.
Just like in the Forrest Gump movie. I mean,
okay.
Exactly in that tone of voice.
Uh-huh.
That high-pitched thing, it got him all excited, he was happy, and we were able to get out of Dodge.
Right.
And so I kind of combined all three of those together And he's doing really well. I mean, I got him to the point where even if he's barking at something outside, mm-hmm. outside the front door, I could say, run away! Mm-hmm. Run, Carney, run!
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he'll look at me and he'll stop barking, you mm-hmm. know, because he's kind of getting to the point where he knows that that's a cutoff and he knows that he's safe.
Right, exactly.
Because I always provide him with safety.
Well, you're teaching your dog to make choices, too.
Yeah.
That he can learn to control the situation because you've taught him that he can make an escape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and, you know, I have to tell you, too, that I've been working with, we referred to this process by using the term BAT, B-A-T, but it is behavior adjustment training. And so I've been working a lot with dogs doing this, and two of the dogs that I've been working have actually been playing with other dogs. I didn't expect that to happen, but that is one of the results that can happen. But certainly I don't promise anybody that their dogs are going to play with other dogs if they're afraid of other dogs using BAT. But certainly you'll make your dog feel a lot more comfortable, and you'll see a lot less reactivity when you are in the presence of other dogs. So
right.
It does work really, really well. And always remember, and Karen, I'm sure you'll agree, that when a dog has an emotional, when they feel negatively negative emotions about something, we need to pair it with a positive. So if your dog is food motivated, you look at that dog, you look at that person that you're afraid of, and you're not reacting, you're going to get hot dogs, you're going to get liver, you're going to get chicken, you know, so that you start to associate the being in that being around that scary stimulus with, hey, that every time I'm around a person that I'm afraid of, wonderful things happen for me. So now we're like doing Pavlovian training, where we're conditioning the dog instead of feeling so negative about this scary stimulus. Now that scary stimulus is actually causing good things to happen for you. So that's how we change
the
emotions.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut
you off.
Right. Do you want to finish?
No, I'm finished.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
You know, the other thing you want to keep in mind is if you're going to do this process, whether you're going to do it by yourself, you're going to do it with a trainer, set yourself realistic goals. Please don't expect to have your dog playing and running off leash with dogs
right.
you know, within the first 2 weeks. This takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you have a dog that's dog aggressive, You gotta come to the realization he may not ever be able to play with other dogs.
So many of them don't, and I don't ever give that expectation to any of my clients.
You know,
all we want is
you know,
we want
they may
the dog
not ever
to tolerate.
Be able to be around kids.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean? So you have to
be realistic.
A set of goals that's realistic for your dog.
Right. But don't you get people who call you and say, well, all my other dogs, they went to the dog park, they had a good time, and I want this dog to be able to play with other dogs at the park. Well, you know, mm-hmm. that may not happen. So, you're setting your dog up for failure if you are going to make that an expectation or a requirement of having this dog. You may want to think about rehoming the dog to a family that doesn't have that expectation. You're putting too much pressure on the dog. So,
it's like, you know, I've used this analogy before. Some people like skydiving.
Yeah.
Some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be born into a house of skydivers. Everybody's a skydiver. Hey, I'm scared to death of heights. There's no way I'm getting up in that plane. Are you going to force that child to do it?
No. But if you offer me $1 million, I might attempt it. That would be my positive association with skydiving,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly. You win a coach bag when you land.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, there are certain things that we can do as people,
mm-hmm.
and there's certain things that we just refuse to do.
Yeah.
I mean, my husband was in the Navy, and he did a lot of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, come on, let's jump out of a plane. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not jumping out of a plane. You may have jumped out of planes for years and years, but I'm not going to do it.
Well, listen to how many people are afraid to fly. I mean, that's something similar, too. So
exactly.
if it's absolutely necessary for them to fly because they want to go see somebody and they have to fly to get to them, they may need a psychologist to go through the same type of processes that we do with dogs because it's psychology in action. They need to be descended desensitized and counter-conditioned so that they can get on that plane and realize that nothing horrible is going to happen and something wonderful just might happen for them, you know?
Right. I do want to say one more important thing before before we end, because we're almost out of time.
Right.
Many of these dogs can form relationships with other dogs, but it usually is a dog they live with.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll take some time, maybe a couple of weeks, a couple of months for them to bond.
Mm-hmm.
But usually most of these dogs, not saying everyone, but most of them can live very peacefully and happily with another dog.
Right.
So
one-on-one.
That is definitely something that can be achieved.
Right. And even if let's say somebody does want their dog to play with another dog, well, maybe they can, you know, as they get to know another dog on a one-to-one level, not within a group of 20 dogs at a dog park, but maybe they can play with one dog. And then if they get good at that, then maybe they can get introduced to another dog. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Thank you so much for listening to Thursday in the Doghouse. Karen and I hope that you have a great week, and please take your dogs out for a walk before it gets too hot, and we'll talk to you next week right here on WNJC 1360 AM from 10 to 10:30. Talk to you later, everybody.
Take care.
I'm glad you're home, but where you've been since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the court's gonna pop. Twist and shout. Ooh, I gotta go out. Well, I'd love to stay and talk, of course, but I really need to see a man about a horse. Grab the leash, let's hit the road. I gotta get out of life. Twist and shout. I gotta go out.
WNJC, 1360 AM, Washington Township,
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia's Renaissance Radio Station, broadcasting online at WNJC1360.com, a service of Forsyth Broadcasting.
Organization formed by an artist for an artist that aids disadvantaged artists in achieving their artistical goals. Contributions are always welcome and greatly appreciated. Won't you help a starving artist today? www.whatthehackisgoing.webs.com. What the heck is going on? Traces Communication, a nonprofit organization formed by an artist for an artist that aids disadvantaged artists in achieving their artistical goals. Contributions are always welcome and greatly appreciated. Won't you help a starving artist today? www.whatthehackisgoing.webs.com.
Good morning. You just stumbled upon my show, What the Heck is Going On, and I'm your host, Tracy Johnson, but my friends call me the Tracer, and you can also. Okay, back today, we have our co-host here, DJ Q, and DJ Q has been kind enough to bring another guest with him also. How you feeling today, Q?
I'm feeling lovely today, Tracer. How are you feeling today?
I feel great.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. How was your week?
Oh, it was fabulous.
Great.
So far, so good. How about you? Is all right with you this week? Or?
Oh, yes. Truly a blessed week so far. You know, keeping God first, you know.